We're so grateful that you are listening to this Words of Life program, brought to you each week by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. The Bible book of Isaiah prophetically shows us the beauty of the love of Jesus, but did not give a description of a beautiful picture in his appearance. The phrase, disfigured beyond any man, is the picture that is painted in Isaiah 52:13-15 to show how he endured so much for us. Brother David Johnson will tell us about this in his sermon today. Please pray with me. Lord, you have blessed us beyond our ability to comprehend or measure. Especially, we thank you for the salvation that is found only in Jesus. Help us to share this important opportunity with all who will hear. Some of our listeners are without your salvation. We pray for this need. We also pray for your help for the material, health, and peace needs that they have in their lives. Please help your servants to freely share the gospel message of Jesus Christ so that it can be heard. We know that Jesus is going to come back and call us home at your appointed time. We ask that we will be ready to meet him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present Disfigured Beyond Any Man.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is Disfigured Beyond Any Man. And our text is taken from the Old Testament, prophecy of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, verses 13 through 15. Please listen to the Word of God. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. This is the Word of God. An American soldier during World War I in France was critically injured by the bursting of a bomb that fell and exploded right in front of him. He lost limbs and was greatly disfigured. The saddest part of his loss was the destruction of his memory. His boyhood, his family name, who he was, where he was, were all blotted out of his broken mind. For years, he lifted up his disfigured face and would cry out, "Does anyone know who I am?" During World War II, another soldier returned home from the war. He'd been seriously wounded, but looked forward to home and being reunited with his bride-to-be. As he stepped off the train, his bride-to-be was waiting for him. When she saw him, she started toward him, then stopped. She stared in amazement, then horror at him. She turned and buried her face in the arms of her mother with her. She cried out, "I can't bear to look at him. He is so marred." She ran away sobbing, leaving the disfigured soldier alone. Another soldier came home from the Vietnam so-called conflict after being seriously wounded. When he reached his hometown, he called his father and said, "Dad, I've come home. I have a friend with me who was in Vietnam also. I'd like to bring him along too." "Yes, son, we'd love to meet him," his father said. "But he's been wounded badly. You don't realize how badly. He has one eye, one arm, and only one leg. He needs to be cared for." "Well, son, we don't know about that. We don't know if we could take care of a boy like that. There are government hospitals and nursing homes to take care of boys with those kinds of extensive injuries. We'll help you find a government facility to take care of him." The son answered, "Okay, I'll see you soon." The next day, the father and mother received a call from the morgue saying they thought they might have their son. Would they please come and identify the body? When they looked at the body, they recognized him as their son, missing one eye, one arm, and one leg. Here we have true stories of the awful consequences of war. Over millennia, marred men and women, inwardly and outwardly, continue. So we have another true story, the awful consequences of sin. The marred man who suffered excruciatingly, inwardly, my God, why have you forsaken me? Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46. Words of deepest anguish when the Son of God was on the verge of death as a sin offering for the sin of mankind, including you and me. Regarding God, consider the Old Testament minor prophet Habakkuk chapter 1 and verses 13 that says, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. So Christ was forsaken. Because at that terrible time, the suffering servant, the man of sorrows, became sin, taking upon himself the cumulative sin of mankind, past, present, and future, all sin. Why? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This marred man also suffered excruciatingly outwardly. Listen again to Scripture. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 14. A modern translation of this, the Contemporary English Version, or the CEV, reads this way, but everyone who saw him was even more horrified because he suffered until he no longer looked human. Listen to Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Isaiah chapter 53 and verses 3 through 5. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. And we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. And also listen to Psalm 22, verses 14 through 18. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. Consider this. Angels appeared after his birth. Luke chapter 2 and verses 13 through 15. Angels came after Christ's temptations in the wilderness and attended him. Mark chapter 1 and verse 13. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him as he agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane, according to Luke chapter 22 and verse 43. Angels appeared at the empty tomb after his victorious resurrection. However, upon his cross at Calvary, the Son of God in his divinity, the Son of Man in his humanity, marred beyond human likeness, no angels appeared. Even for the first and only terrible time in all of eternity, his Father in heaven had forsaken him. Jesus died as darkness came over all the land. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 45. He died as an atoning sacrifice given freely for all sinners. The hands that blessed the little children and babies were nailed to a cruel cross. The feet that walked on the waters of the Sea of Galilee were nailed to a cruel cross. The heart that went out to the poor, to the sick, to the downtrodden, in great compassion, yet burst on the cross. Why would an absolutely pure and innocent man volunteer to lay down his life for sinners? Because it was God the Father's will. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10 that says in part, "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer." Yes, but why? Why suffer as he did on a crude cross? Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 11 in the New American Standard Bible, which says in part, "As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied." That is, God the Father was satisfied with the perfect sacrifice of the perfect Lamb of God on the altar of the cross, meaning to appease the absolute holiness and justice of God. This one perfect sacrifice of His Son, His suffering servant, would and does provide complete satisfaction in settling the sin issue of mankind for all eternity. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And we should understand that that is only effectual personally to all who receive Christ and His atoning work on the cross on our behalf through genuine faith. And a faith that saves is proven by a pattern of obedience. Most people have it backwards, believing that, quote, good people deserve heaven. Yet no one is good enough, because one solitary sin condemns before an absolutely holy God. Adam sinned one time with Eve, and they were dismissed. They were taken out, forbidden to remain in the perfect paradise of the Garden of Eden. Jesus Christ, who never sinned, according to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, was and is the only man who could appease the holiness of God. Because of our sin, everybody actually deserves hell. Everyone is hell-bound unless, now in the church age, they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord through saving faith, persevering faith. Then we are heaven-bound in Christ Jesus. As His righteousness, we don't have any righteousness that God accepts as human beings. We all have the sin nature, and we all sin, and we all continue to fall short. But we have the perfect righteousness that God accepts, credited to us, imputed to us, the righteousness of Christ. In Him, we become righteous positionally before a holy God. Yet God, in His tremendous grace, again that no one deserves, did send His righteous one to die for us. That is the love of God, balanced with the justice of God. Most have a higher moral view of man and a lower view of the holiness and justice of God than they should. Nevertheless, God provided by His grace, His unmerited favor, He provided Jesus, the Son of God, and only Jesus saves. So this morning, or wherever you are at that time that you're listening to this, will you receive Him today? Receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? Do you need to rededicate yourself to the Lord Jesus? Do that today.
Thank you.
The sermon that we have enjoyed gives us a picture of how much we are loved by Jesus. Have you accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life? It is important that you first truly believe that Jesus is the Savior and the Son of God. The book of Acts also shows us that believers need to repent of sin, make a confession of faith in Jesus, and be baptized by immersion. If we can help you in your decision for Jesus, please contact us. To receive a free CD of this program, request broadcast number 1925. That's 1925. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. That's Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. That's wolradio@att.net. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs, thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time and station for another program from Words of Life.